Well, these are uncertain times, are they not? Kind of world we live in and all everything that's going on in our world today. And I was thinking the other day, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of a lot of anxiousness, and when you're in times when you don't know what the future holds and you're kind of struggling with that, how do you find peace in the midst of all that? So I did what most people do. I Googled it, right? I Googled, how do you find peace? And here's what I got. I got 1,060,000,000,000 responses in less than 1 second. Isn't that amazing, the world we live in today? But I'm telling you, I started looking through some of them, and it's pretty crazy stuff out there. I thought, why are there so many sites like this? And, I realized after I started reading some of them, it's because so many different people have a different idea of what peace is, of what it means to be at peace. So I was looking through some of these, and there was one article that said that for many people, they mistake unconsciousness for peace. Like some people feel at peace, you know, when they're kind of tired and empty, and they think peace is when you sometimes people will take substances, they'll take alcohol or drugs or something to they'll get drunk or they get high, and they think peace is numbness. Like you're not feeling that anxiousness. It's being numb. Others mistake happiness for peace. It's a kind of high that you feel when something happens, really. You feel happy because, you found a $100 bill on the sidewalk, or because maybe you got a new job. And you think that being happy is what it means to be at peace. For others, it's getting away from it all. It's like when you go on vacation. Or you go on Sean's boat. That's another way. Very peaceful on Sean's boat. You get away from it all, right? Or maybe you have a hobby that you indulge in. And it takes your mind off all the turmoil. It takes your mind off all the difficulty. You unplug. And that absence of conflict makes you feel at peace. How do you define peace? Where do you find your peace from? We've been in this series the last few weeks called Moving Forward. We're supposed to be looking at the final discourse of Jesus, which begins in John 14 and goes all the way through chapter 16. And I have suddenly turned into Jackie Sutton. I can't get out of John 14. Matter of fact, we're going to be in it one more week next week, and I wasn't even planning it, Jackie. I see. I'll never tease you again. God's making me do penance here. But anyway, this takes place the night that Jesus is arrested. He has he takes communion with his disciples and shares with them, and this teaching comes. This is his last night to spend with them. He knows before the night's over, he's going to be arrested. And he knows that the next day, he's going to be tried in these, you talk about illegal trials at night, overnight, and into the morning, and then he's going to be brutalized. He's going to be whipped to within an inch of his life. And then eventually he'll end up on a cross and he'll die. And he knows when this happens. He knows, even though he's been telling the disciples all about it, that they've not been paying attention. Because they don't want to believe this. They have a different idea of what life's going to be like moving forward. But he knows this is going to be devastating to them. And it was. And so on this night, he wants to give them some things, some tools, that when these difficult hard places come in the next few days, in the next weeks. He wants to give them something they can cling to, something they can. He doesn't want them to stop. He has a mission for them to do. So he's telling them these things to help them move forward. And part of that is peace. How do you find the peace to move forward when all of life falls apart? It's tough to have peace when there's upheaval and there's turmoil. There's dissension all around you. And yet, in that moment, in a moment of turmoil, in a moment of great upheaval, that is the most significant time, I think, for followers of Jesus, for the church, to stand up and be able to live in real peace. Because if real peace means anything, if the peace that God wants to give us means anything, it means something in times like these, times like we're going through today. Our response to pressures, to the pandemics, to the protests, to political polarization that we've seen over this last year. We need to be able, as a church, to be able to lean on that unshakable peace of God. And not only lean on it, but demonstrate it to others. Live it out for others. And so in John 14, Jesus talks about this peace. He says in verse 26 of chapter 14, when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. Now, we started last week talking about the Holy Spirit and how important it is to have him driving in your car. In your life, it's important to have him with you on the journey. And Jesus says that this part of the Spirit's role in your life is to teach you and to remind you of everything, help you remember everything that he has said, to inspire you to live into everything that Jesus said. And the important part in this is that you're not alone. When the Holy Spirit comes, he says, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. The Comforter's going to come. The Advocate's going to come. And he's going to be with you. And you don't have to be afraid. And you're not going to have to, even though there may be turmoil all around you, you don't have to let it in here. You don't have to let the trouble and the dissension. The Holy Spirit is coming to live inside you, and I will give you peace. I want you to know when your world turns upside down, when trouble comes, when you go through persecution and pandemics and the world is afraid and everybody thinks everything is hopeless, there is a peace and a power that is available in you through the Holy Spirit. And right here and now, you can be filled with that peace. You can be filled with that peace today, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the doctor's report was, no matter, you know, when you sat down and paid bills this week, the struggle. I tell you today, you can have peace. You can have it. How do you gain access to his peace so you can keep moving forward? Well, the first thing you have to do is we have to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. I mean, if he's going to, what he said there in verse 26, teach us and remind us, inspire us to do all the things that Jesus said to do, you got to learn to listen to him. You do realize that it doesn't do any good for the Holy Spirit of God to be inside of you and speaking to you if you don't listen to him. I mean, you know, it's kind of like my doctor. I mean, he tells me something to help make my life better, to make my health better. And if I choose not to listen to him, my thought is, why go to the doctor? I have this argument often when Luann wants me to go to the doctor, because I say I really don't want to do whatever he tells me to do. He's just going to tell me I'm fat and I need to lose. I can recite it for him, okay? But she's like, oh, you need to hear it again. But it doesn't do any good, right? And it's the same way in your life. If you don't listen to the Holy Spirit, then it doesn't do any good. And yet, he, as followers of Jesus, he's given us his Holy Spirit. And we need to listen to his voice. Now, I know some people struggle. One of the questions I've heard my entire life as a pastor is, how do you know the voice of God? Well, I often think about like a while back when we used to go to shopping malls. Do you remember those days? Remember those days when we greet each other and you shake hands and hug one another and all that? You know, a long time ago, you know, back in the day. But it was a time. I remember once I was with my daughter and Luann at Oak Park Mall. And we had separated. They'd gone into a store. And so I went to my go-to Pawpaw store for my grandkids, the Disney store. And so when I got done there, I knew which store they were in. So I walked in the store and I couldn't see them. Because here's the thing about my wife and my daughter. If the racks are about this high, I'm not going to find them visually, okay? Because they're so short. And so I have to find other ways of finding them. And so here's what I do. I very quietly just listen. I listen for my wife's voice. I listen for her laugh. It's very distinctive. Can you laugh for us on cue? Okay. All right. Anyway, but there we go. Anyway, that's very distinctive. And my daughter laughs just like her. And if I don't have that, the other cue is she coughs very distinctively to me. I mean, listen, I know her voice. I know her laugh. I know her cough because, you know, we've spent a lot of time together. We've been married for 37 years. And so we've got 37 years of, you know, laughing together, sharing together, talking about hopes and dreams. 37 years of me listening to her voice get on to me for something I didn't do or should have done. I mean, 37 years of just knowing one another. And so I know her voice and I know my daughter's voice. I know what she sounds like. I've had my wife encourage me. I've had my wife, you know, lift me up. And so it's easy for me. It's so familiar and so distinct because I've got all this time of listening for familiarity. And that's the way it is with God. You want to know how to know his voice? You got to spend time with him, sharing your hopes and your dreams. You've got to spend time with him, even at times when he corrects you. Even times when, you know, you've got to spend time talking to him and learning to listen. Because after a while, you begin to kind of know. I know now the difference between, like, you know, whether I shouldn't have eaten Taco Bell at 11 o'clock at night and God's voice. There's sometimes early on in my walk, I thought those two sound the same. I don't know if it's a late night snack I had or if it was, is that God really talking to me? But after time of listening in and bending in and saying, God, speak to me. I want to hear you. I want to know you. You begin to know his voice in your life. You begin to recognize when he says something to you. It's a familiarity. Jesus said this in John 10, which is prior to this, what we're looking at today, John 10:4. He says, after he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. They know his voice. They recognize his voice. Over time, confession, spending time talking to him. You got to put in the time. You've got to share. You got to be willing to share your life and practice listening to us. It's why we encourage everybody to spend some time every day just with him. This is why I think prayer time shouldn't be done in your car on the way to work. Because I don't know about you, but I always have drivers that the devil sends cars to cut me off and make me unspiritual. And so I can't really pray in the car on my way to work. I have to spend quiet time. I got to turn everything off, all the electronics, got to put away Facebook. And just, even if it's just 5 minutes a day, start there of just learning to listen to God and recognize his voice. And later on, as you grow and mature, all of a sudden, you know what you'll find? You'll find that in the midst of chaos, in the midst of trouble, when there's a lot of loud noises out there, if you have spent some time in quiet, learning to hear his voice, in the midst of that chaos, you can hear his voice too. And you can know what the Spirit is saying to you, and you can know what God is trying to say to you. Now, I'm not talking about some audible voice. I'm just talking about knowing with a clarity in your heart. Romans 8:16 says this. It says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. That's in the NIV, but I love how it puts it in the Passion paraphrase. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. And you know what? It's worth it every day to turn everything off and get away from all the noise just to listen to the Spirit whisper in your innermost being, you are my child, and I love you. We've got to learn to listen to God's voice. If you want to have peace today, we've got to turn our heart towards him and listen. The second thing you have to do is accept what Jesus offers. You've got to accept what Jesus offers. Now, it's interesting. In verse 27, Jesus said this. He said, My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. It's something different. I am giving you peace. And it's not the peace that over a billion websites, over a trillion websites on the internet's talking about. The word for peace that Jesus uses here isn't about numbness, and it's not about getting away from it all. It's not about escape, and it's not about, you know, abandonment. The word for peace that Jesus uses here means harmony, security, safety. It's harmony, security, safety I leave with you. It's what I'm giving to you. It's what I'm pouring out to you. And I'm sure when the disciples heard this, even as Hebrew fishermen, they probably would have hearkened back to the Hebrew word for peace, which is shalom. And that word shalom for a Jew, and it heard in this context in when Jesus said it, means completeness, soundness, wholeness. It's a peace that brings tranquility and contentment to a restless and upheavaled heart. That's the kind of peace Jesus was talking about. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. I love this verse. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. And I started to explore a little bit, like, where'd that word perfect come from? Because perfect's not in the text. I'll tell you where they got it. The word shalom, the word for peace, it's used twice. In other words, it says, you will keep in shalom, shalom, all who trust in you. That's an emphatic way in the Hebrew of saying, like, that. And the only way we can translate it is like perfect peace. I mean, this is a double portion of peace that you're getting. I'm going to give you a double portion of peace. I'm going to give you even more than you need. Perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. That's like saying, man, I want some ice cream, ice cream. I really want it. But this is what God's saying. I'm going to give this to you in a double portion that goes beyond anything this world knows. I want you to be clear that that peace does not mean that we don't have trouble in this world, okay? What Jesus said during this discourse to his disciples in John 16, 33, he said, you know, in this world, you will have trouble. That's what he said. Having peace doesn't mean that you're not going to have any problems. Doesn't mean that you're not, the kids aren't going to fight on the way to church or on the way to school in the morning. It doesn't mean that, you know, your spouse isn't going to get on your nerves, because they will. This peace doesn't mean that you're not going to have some difficult times in life and go through some tough stuff. What this means, though, is that in the midst of trouble, in the midst of all of that, you can have harmony, security, safety, and wholeness in your heart. You don't have to be fragmented by it. This peace isn't the absence of problems. This peace that Jesus gives, that the world does not have, is a peace that it doesn't possess. It is real peace that is only found in the presence of God. Matter of fact, I don't want you to miss this. Can you go back to that John 14, 27? Yeah. Look what he says here. He says, Jesus says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I want you to notice something. This just is just any peace. It's my peace. Jesus says, I'm going to give you my peace. I'm going to give you the peace that I have, the peace that's held me together, the peace that was going to help him to endure a cross, a peace that was going to help him, you know, endure being whipped, a peace that was going to help him endure being falsely accused, a peace that was going to help him when all of his disciples abandoned him. This was a peace that was going to help him. You know, the Bible says Jesus could have come down from the cross, but it's this peace that kept him on the cross for you and me. We're talking about a mighty powerful peace, the peace of Jesus Christ. And I don't know what you're going through today, but I dare say that none of us have gone through what Jesus Christ went through on the cross. On that night, his peace, the peace that he had that was going to help him endure through all these things, who was going to get him on the other side, even to death, trusting in the resurrection that God was going to bring in his life. That's the peace he gives to you and I. Matter of fact, that word leave, if you that word leave means to bequeath. It's like a will. It's like what you would leave somebody when you're going to die. And it makes sense that on the night that Jesus was going to be arrested, knowing that the next day he's going to die on the cross, that he would bequeath. He says, I'm going to bequeath my peace to you. I'm going to give it to you. And you think about it, what did Jesus have? Well, he didn't have a closet full of clothes to leave anybody else. He didn't have a bunch of bank accounts. He didn't even have a house. What did he have to leave the disciples? What would he have that he would be able to pass down to them and bequeath to them? It was his peace. That was the most important thing he could think of that night. I'm going to leave this to you. I'm going to bless you with it. I'm going to give it to you. And I don't know if anybody's ever left you anything in a will before, but here's what I know. When somebody leaves something to you in a will, there's nothing you have to do, nothing you have to go. They leave it to you. It's yours. And that's what he does. He just gives us peace. His peace, this powerful peace that the world can't know, it can't explain, and that even some of our language can't even begin to comprehend and put into form, where we can understand it. That's the kind of peace that he wants to give you. In the midst of your trouble, and in the midst of your pain, in the midst of the hardships you're going through, it's this peace that he wants to bless your life with. It's your peace that he wants to pour out into your life and into mine. And ironically, that's what the disciples were going to need to get them through the next few hours, the next few weeks. I think it's what they needed to get them through to Pentecost. They needed to have that kind of a peace. And isn't that the very thing we need in our world today? I mean, in 2021, it's not the peace of numbness or happiness or escape so that we forget about what we're going through or what we're enduring. But it's instead a powerful peace that Jesus offers us to not only endure and have staying power, but to be victorious. It's a peace that can get us through any circumstance. It's a peace that helps us, is stronger than any virus. It can outlast any quarantine. It has the ability, I think, to heal a divided country and people. I believe the peace of God that he offers us today, his peace, is a powerful gift, and we have to be willing to possess it. We have to say, I need that peace. I want it. And when you're a follower of Jesus, it's yours. He left it to you. He bequeaths it to you. Got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Got to accept what Jesus offers. And then here's the last thing. We've got to refuse to yield to fear. I want you to, in verse 27, in the Passion paraphrase, it says this. I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace, not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. Because you see, even though he gives you that peace, you have to choose to not yield to fear. You have to choose to not be troubled in your heart. You have to choose to be courageous. You have to choose to live in that. When I read that, I'm reminded of one of my favorite Bible characters. One of my favorite Old Testament books is the book of Joshua. And when Joshua takes over, you know, Moses has died and Joshua is supposed to lead the people into the promised land. And you may or may not remember that the first time they came to the promised land, they were afraid. They yielded to fear. They gave in. And they were afraid of the trouble they would find. And so they wandered in the desert for 40 years. And now Moses has gone away. Moses has passed. And now Joshua, he's the new leader. And he's going to be the one to lead them into the promised land. And as the number two guy, that had to be a pretty frightening thing. Because he was one of the spies who went in the first time. And he had faith that God would do it. But here now he's the leader. It's one thing to be the leader. It's another thing to just be a follower. But here he is the leader. And here's what God says to him in order to encourage him, in order to help him. He says in Joshua 1:9, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I want you to hear this morning. I want you to know this today. Every one of us has a choice. We can yield to the fear. We can yield to the doubt. We can listen to the voices and to the noise, and we can keep our eyes fixed on the trouble, or we can lean into the courage that God wants to give us. Because you see, in this world all the time, right? There's the worry, the anxiousness, the discouragement, the upset, the turmoil that's caused by all of that, all around you. The world's peace has no answer for it. We see it on the news every night. We hear it every day in our world, maybe where you work or maybe even in your house. We hear it all the time. And you can either give in to that and yield to that fear, or you can be strong and courageous, unafraid and encouraged, because the Lord is with you wherever you go. Told Joshua, he said, wherever you set your foot, I'm going to give to you. And I think that's what Jesus is saying here to us. I love the way the Passion translation puts that. Because you can either yield and give in and relinquish and surrender. You can give in to the culture, the news, what you read on social media. Or you can be strong and courageous, encouraged by the Holy Spirit that lives in you, that speaks to you. You can lean into that peace that he bequeaths to you, his peace that helped him endure a cross, his peace that got him through to the resurrection day, his peace that will keep you safe and secure and complete and whole. But you got to say no to the fear. You got to say no to the fear. No, I'm not walking down that path. I'm not going to let my mind go there. I'm not going to let my heart take hold of those thoughts and those ideas. By the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in me, I'm going to push out the doubt and the division and the discouragement and the anxiousness and the worry. God, empty me of that. I often pray that God would so fill me with the Holy Spirit that there's not room for those things. You know? I know we talk about getting rid of this and getting rid of that. I just want to be so full of the Spirit that there's no room for those kinds of thoughts and those kinds of ideas in my head. Because the Holy Spirit who lives in us today, He helps us to understand the peace that God has given to us so that we can embrace it, so we can be strong, so that we can be courageous, so that we can not only be encouraged, but we can encourage others. So not only so we can endure, but so we can win on the other end. So that we can live fearless and daring and confident because the peace of Jesus has been given to us. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Be courageous. When my kids were little, one smart thing we did, well, I didn't do very many smart things. Their mother did them all. But we didn't like, they started getting in bed with us, you know, like when there was a storm outside and stuff like that. And, you know, at first it's kind of cute when they're really little, but I don't know. When they get to be 15, it's kind of weird. And so, but as our kids grew, we decided, man, we can't. You know, so what we'd let them do, though, is bring their pillow in and they could sleep on the side of the bed. And so Michael would sleep, my oldest, my son, would sleep on my side of the bed in the floor. And then Brianna would come and get in you know, on the other side on her mom's side. And what we would do is, I mean, here's Michael. He's, you know, he's 5, 6 years old. And what he would want me to do is he would want me to hang my arm over the side of the bed. And so I would hang my arm over the side of the bed and he would hang on to my hand and go to sleep. That was the only way he said he could get to sleep because he wanted to know that Dad was there. And I've thought so many times in my life, there have been so many places in my life where God's just reached his hand down. And just being able to hold his hand and know, you got me here, enabled me to rest. Enable me to have peace. Enable me to be able to do what he wanted me to do and live the way that he wanted me to live and respond the way that he wanted me to live. And I think in your life and mine, when you think about the peace of God, that's what he does for you. His Holy Spirit lives in us and he's bequeathed, he's given us his peace, this powerful peace, so that whatever we're going through, whatever it is that causes fear, whatever it is that causes us worry, whatever it is that we're struggling with, even in times of grief and pain, just, God, can I hold your hand? Because knowing that you're here with me and in me, that peace is enough to know I can get through this and it's all going to be okay and I can rest. And maybe there's somebody this morning that's listening and you're struggling right now. You're going through a difficult time. You've had some difficult issues in your life. Maybe you've been given into the fear this week. Maybe there's been news that you got, or maybe you read too much social media, you had the news on too much, or you know, and all of a sudden it's begun to undermine your faith. And the chaos of the world has gotten into your heart this week. You left the gate open. And some of it snuck into the house. And maybe this morning you're like saying, God, I want that peace back. You're not going to find it in the world. You're only going to find it through him. And the great thing is he wants to give it to you. And it's a powerful peace. It's a powerful peace that saw him through his most difficult time as he faced the cross. And it's a peace that he wants to give to you today. And all you got to do is embrace it. Say, God, I want it. I want to listen to your Spirit. And God, I just want you to speak it. I want your peace in my life. I want to refuse to yield to the fear and embrace the peace you have for me. And maybe somebody's watching today, or maybe you're here this morning, and you know we all have bad days, right? And for some of us in this pandemic, we've found that all the resources that we depend upon to give us peace, to give us rest, to keep us calm, all the things in our life have all been knocked out from underneath us in this last year. And maybe today you realize that living for yourself and living on your own and living just with your resources isn't enough. And you find yourself struggling today. You've been yielding to the fear. And as we talked this morning, if you listen to the Spirit, Spirit's been saying, you need that peace today. I want you to know all you have to do, it's a free gift today. All you have to do is talk to Him and confess and say, God, I'm tired of doing this by myself. I can't do it anymore. I'm tired of doing it my way. I want to do it your way. I need your peace in my life. Forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can know exactly what we've been talking about today. I don't know where you are this morning, but would you bow your heads today with me so we can pray and talk to God? Father, I want to thank you for the many, many, many times in my life when the storm has been raging around me. And I've asked you, Father, to reach down and give me your peace. And I've felt your hand on my chest. I've clung to your hand like my son used to do to mine when he was afraid. You've been there every time to give me your peace and your rest in the midst of chaos. And I have no doubt, Father, that as you have done it before, you will do it again. And I have no doubt this morning that in the lives and the hearts of all of us who are listening today, that you can do it this morning. So first I pray today, pray for that one, Father, who doesn't know you. They're not a follower of yours. And they've realized, Father, this last year, maybe these last months, this last week, maybe just this morning, they've realized that they're not equipped today to deal with the chaos of this world. And what they long for is to know the kind of peace that we talked about. Maybe they've looked for peace in all those places the world says you can find it, and they've come up empty. And this morning they want a real peace, a peace that endures, a peace that can go through and won't abandon you, but helps you through anything. And today, Father, they want to surrender their life to you, to ask that you let what Jesus did on the cross count for their sin, to be forgiven and to become a follower of yours this morning. I pray for that one who prays that prayer today, that you would fill their heart and life with your peace today. Fill them with your Holy Spirit today. Push out all the worry and push out all the hurt. Push out all the pain, Father, and bring healing in their lives today. May they know, may the Spirit bear witness with their spirit that they are your children. May your Spirit speak to them today and say, you are now my beloved child. And they would have a sense of peace today because of you. I pray for those of us, Father, who've been following you. And Lord, today we count on you and we trust in you to forgive us of our sins. And Father, we have tried by the power of the Holy Spirit to live, Lord, in the power that you give us to trust in you and to walk and do the things that you've asked us to do. But Father, somehow, some way, some place, we got a weakness somewhere. Or maybe we just, this week, we just, like we said, left the gate open and something came in the yard. And Lord, today there's chaos near our hearts today. And Lord, we don't want to feel that anymore. We don't want to focus on that anymore. Will you help us to take our eyes off of that which causes doubt and fear and fix our eyes on you again this morning? Will you help us to be reminded how powerful this peace is, that it's the peace that saw Jesus Christ through betrayal. It's a peace that saw him through being whipped. It's a peace that saw him stay on the cross for us and for our sins. It's a peace that carried him through the resurrection. Because God, I believe today on the other side of things, you've got resurrection power for us. And so God, would you help us so fill us with your peace and your Holy Spirit this morning that it pushes out whatever we've allowed in. Help us, Lord, to shut the gate today, to not listen to that stuff, to not give in to our fears, to not give in to our doubts, but Father, to trust in you and the peace that you give. God, today, would you come and just may the peace of Christ rest in our hearts today. May the peace of Jesus so fill us today that as we go out into this week, we go bravely, we go courageously, we go knowing what the Bible says, that because you are with us, there is nothing out there to overcome us. That you have overcome everything we're going to face this week, and that we can be victorious in Jesus Christ because His Spirit lives in us. Greater are you who are in us than anything that the enemy has for us out in the world. May we be a victorious people this week so that people will not only see what real peace looks like, but Father, they will be able to experience it as you bear witness through us. God, we love you today. We put our hope and our trust in you this morning, for we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Hey, this morning, I would love to know if there's something this morning that spoke to you in the message. We'd love to hear it. If you're online, we'd love to have you. You know, you can make a comment in the comment section, or you can email us or text us. There's 8 gazillion ways to get a hold of us. And so I'd really love to hear what God's doing in your life. And today, if you ask Christ into your heart, I would love to know about that as well, because we want to help you on your journey as you begin your walk in Christ. I'd like to have everybody here this morning, if you will, stand. And I just want to say, I saw this benediction recently, and I thought today was a good day for us to experience this blessing today, especially because you're going to walk out there into some frigid temperatures. And hopefully you'll have such a warm heart that you'll be able to get to your car. Maybe it'll melt all the snow off your windshield. I don't know. But here we go. Listen, go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold fast to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor people. Love and serve the Lord your God. And go rejoicing in the power and the peace of His Holy Spirit. God bless you. Have a great week this week. Be careful out there. Thanks for being here.